It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The G8 summit of the world's wealthiest nations got underway today in Japan. The meeting was supposed to be an important milestone toward a new worldwide treaty to slow global warming, but there's been little progress leading up to this annual meeting, which seriously complicates efforts to reach agreement on a new climate treaty that has as a deadline the end of next year. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Last December in Bali, climate negotiators gave themselves just 2 years to come up with a treaty to replace the expiring Kyoto Protocol. So far, that ambitious schedule is faltering. The issue is on the agenda at the G8 meeting in Japan this week, but just about everyone, including President Bush, expects at best modest progress.
And part of the reluctance has been on some nations that are major economies to participate at all. Because initially, I'm confident they thought they were going to get a free pass from any international agreement.
This is part of a global game of chicken. Alden Meyer at the Union of Concerned Scientists says most developed nations seem willing to go along with a long-term goal of reducing emissions by 50% by the year 2050.
But for countries like China, India, and Brazil, they're unwilling to agree to such a global long-term goal unless the industrialized countries first agree to substantial reductions in our emissions by 2020. So that it's clear that we will take leadership and start to reduce emissions first.
The Bush administration, however, won't make any short-term promises. This deadlock could break when the next president of the United States is elected. Both Senators Obama and McCain have laid out ambitious climate policies. So at this G8 meeting, most countries seem to be just biding their time. And Meyer says it's not just the U.S. election that's creating some reticence.
We've got a lot of elections happening, not only the elections here in the United States, but there are going to be elections next year in Germany, Canada, India, Japan, other countries. And of course, when you have that electoral uncertainty, it makes it harder for leaders to come together.
A new president is only part of the picture in moving the U.S. forward in climate talks. Any treaty needs to garner a 2/3 vote of the Senate in order to become law. Last time around, the Senate had no interest in ratifying the Kyoto climate treaty that Vice President Al Gore brought back from Japan. So Mark Helmke, a Republican staffer with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, says there's a bipartisan effort to try a different approach next time around.
The model that Senator Lugar and Senator Biden have adopted is a model that President Reagan, believe it or not, proposed back in 1985 when he began arms control negotiations with the Soviets again.
The Senate had rejected President Carter's earlier attempt at an arms treaty, so Reagan decided to bring along a Senate delegation and make sure that they would buy into what his administration negotiated.
I think the rule here that Senator Lugar and Senator Biden and other senators have been trying to propose, hopefully since the next president is a senator now, he'll understand this, that if you're going to sign a treaty, you need to bring the Senate along in a bipartisan way, senators and their staff support, to get the understanding to get to that 67-vote threshold, which is in the Constitution.
This isn't happening at the G8, but it could come into play as climate talks progress. Helmke says it would also make more political sense for the United States to adopt a domestic climate change law, like a cap-and-trade system, before signing onto a treaty. Helmke says there are a lot of reasons for that.
One is 60 votes versus 67 votes.
60 votes is what it takes to move a bill through the Senate. Another political reality is that it would be a lot easier to sign on to a treaty if it obligates the U.S. government to do what it is already committed to do domestically. All this takes time, so Helmke says getting a climate treaty in 2009 would be ambitious indeed.
The new president will have to deal with a G8 summit, a NATO summit, and several other summits right away in 2009. And so a lot will have to be done pretty quickly in the next administration to get to the United States into a position where it can be negotiating in good faith with our allies and with India and China.
And all that's assuming that the nations of the world, with vastly different needs and expectations, can in fact agree about the best way to move forward. Richard Harris, NPR News.